That's right. It's Monday morning here at Cheesehead TV at Railbird Central at CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Kirvu, and joining me right now is Brett Good, the Packers long snapper here on Christmas Eve. Brett, how you doing on this holiday morning?
Oh, doing pretty good. Woke up, it was snowing, so can't ask for much more than that.
Very good. Now, as far as the game yesterday goes, all I can say is 55-7. I don't think there are a lot of people here that are surprised that the Packers beat the Titans, but were even you surprised by the lopsided final score?
It's definitely fun to win that way. You know, you'd like to win them all that way, but I was definitely surprised. But it just kind of shows what our team can do if, you know, we start kind of clicking on all cylinders, and that's more momentum for us to take into Minnesota this week.
Now, by virtue of a 49ers loss to the Seahawks on Sunday night, the Packers now have the number 2 seed in the NFL. Did you happen to watch that game at all last night, kind of knowing the impact it had on the Packers?
I watched it through halftime, then I fell asleep, but I knew the impact, and that's the first thing, you know, I checked this morning. See what the final score was for that, and so now it's just, you know, we control our own destiny, and that's all you can ask for.
Is there? I kind of put out a feeler to the people I follow on Twitter. Is there any feeling of okay, we're even with the Seahawks, considering the call from earlier in the season that the loss to the Seahawks from way back in Week 3?
I don't think anybody's even thinking about Week 3. Honestly, I think the main thing that we're focusing on is going into Minnesota. It's going to be a tough environment, and we want to win that game so we can get a first round bye and lock up a second seed. And I think that's a big goal right now for us.
Is there any sort of mentality that you want the bye week because you like the week off in the playoffs, or is there any sort of fear whatsoever that a team might be rusty with a week off? How does that work?
No, I don't think you're rusty. I think it's just kind of like the regular season bye where you come back refreshed and, you know, you're ready to go make a run. I think that's kind of what we're looking for. And, you know, if it works out, it'd be great for us. And, you know, it's just one of those things where you want to be the highest seeding that you can possibly be going into the playoffs. And so, you know, right now we're 2, and hopefully we can lock that up.
We're talking to Brett Good this morning here at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. The Packers have now won 4 straight games. It's a streak that began against the Minnesota Vikings. Is this time, you know, what is the feeling of momentum heading into the postseason? That's obviously the way you want to go in, but you know, we saw it in 2010 when the Packers got hot at the end of the year. Was this the game plan all along?
I don't think you ever game plan to lose games. Obviously, you know, whatever has happened in the past is in the past with the losses, and we've just been able to build. And I think that we are gaining a lot of momentum and moving forward. And I think that, you know, the biggest thing for us, like I said, is gaining that momentum and trying to lock up that second seed spot in the playoffs. And so you definitely want to go into Minnesota. It's a division game. It's going to be tough. It's a tough environment. And so we just want to go in there and be able to come out of there with a win.
It's Christmas Eve here, Brett. How is the team handling the holiday? Because as I understand it, you usually come in on Mondays to review the game film, don't you?
Yeah, we usually review it on Monday, but we're going to do that on Wednesday. With the win, and we got today and tomorrow off for everybody to kind of spend time with their families, and that's what Christmas is about. And so, you know, we're able to do that, and thankfully Mike let us off, so. Yeah, you know, we'll go in Wednesday refreshed and ready to go to work.
Any plans for you personally for the holidays?
Just spend time with, you know, some friends. Probably going to go to church today and then, just kind of lay low and relax, watch it snow.
As we kind of look ahead here to next week, you take on the Vikings on the road to close out the regular season. This has the makeup of a pretty intense game as a rivalry with a lot on the line. Are you expecting to see a pretty fired up Vikings team next week?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that game is always fired up. I think anytime you get into a division game, they're fired up. You know, regardless of win loss records, the division games are always tough, and especially in the North here, just because nobody really likes the other person, and you want to win those games. And you know, it's going to be a tough environment. They're going to, they're going to have a lot of crowd behind them. So we got to go in there, and there's nothing better than shutting up a crowd and hearing the Go Pack Go chants over their crowd. And so that's kind of the goal.
Can you give us a little bit of a scouting report on the Vikings from what you've seen of them just a few weeks ago?
I think the thing when we played them, I think they're very solid on special teams. I think their defense is solid. I think they've got a great running game. They like to control the game with the running game, mix it in with play action. And I think the biggest thing for us for special teams wise, and we got to just go in there and try to improve off of last week. I thought we had a great week yesterday in Lambeau, and so hopefully we can go back into Minnesota in a controlled environment and have an even better week.
Well, we'll talk to you next week about that game. We congratulate you on a win yesterday over the Titans. We wish you good luck to against the Vikings next week, and wish you a Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for joining us here on a Christmas Eve.
Well, I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brett. We'll talk to you next week. Packers long snapper Brett Goode joining us here on the phone this morning here at Railbird Central. Thanks to him for joining us. Such a great guy to be doing that here on a holiday. I'm not sure a whole lot of people would be willing to do that on Christmas Eve, but Brett Goode, good enough to join us here on the show, so that's fantastic. Thanks to him, and thanks to you, the listener, for joining us here this morning. I'm joined by Jamie Jors, our live blog director here on Christmas Eve, and let's talk a little bit about yesterday's game. Let's get back to it. We got a lot to talk about, as we mentioned before with Brett. A lot to talk about regarding basically yesterday's game, the playoff implications, the upcoming game with the Vikings. Whole lot of things we can get to here this morning, but yesterday's final score, 55-7. Wow, what a game, huh? Just flabbergasted by the way the Packers took care of business. Now, personally, I think my score prediction for the game was 28-21, and boy, do I look foolish. I did predict a Packers victory at least, but the past few weeks they're now in this 4-game winning streak. What they won 9 of 10 now, or is it 8 of 9? Anyway, the Packers have kind of won all season long, but rarely have they dispatched an opponent, and they finally took care of business on Sunday. And I kind of said, until the Packers blow an opponent out, I thought they would continue to win ugly. That was kind of the way I saw it. But hey, they took care of business in big time fashion, 55-7. And that is really bodes well for the Packers as they get ready to transition to the postseason here, from the regular season to the playoffs. You want to get that momentum going. You want a team feeling good about itself. You want that confidence level high. And I think that's what yesterday's win does when you absolutely blow out an opponent by the amount they did. The Packers got to be on cloud 9 right now and feeling like they can do that to almost anyone, or at least feel like they can hang with almost anyone. So, that's what a win like yesterday does, and really good to see all phases of the game working. I mean, offense, defense, special teams, all doing fantastic yesterday, all of them contributing to a victory. And it really was a sight to behold, as it wasn't even a game. The Titans, a little bit overmatched. Their playoff hopes are done, so maybe that's they didn't exactly want to be there, perhaps. Whatever the case may be, the Packers, TCB taking care of business yesterday and really put Jake Locker on the ropes and came at him from every direction. And just a great job all around, kind of going through some of the key stats here yesterday on offense. Aaron Rodgers, of course, you know, throwing for over 300 yards, 342 to be exact, three touchdowns, zero interceptions, has a pass rating of 125.1. You know, could have been even better for Aaron Rodgers had he not misfired on a couple of especially first half passes. But apart from that, still looking very sharp, very solid, connecting with a bunch of wide receivers. You know, James Jones leading the way, seven catches for 100 yards. Greg Jennings also has seven catches, but only for 45. Kind of interesting how few yards Greg Jennings has been having since coming back. Hasn't really shown that big play ability, but maybe seven catches. Maybe that's the result of, you know, getting his timing back with Aaron Rodgers and maybe bigger things to come. Jermichael Finley coming through with a big day, five catches for 70 yards, pretty darn good for a tight end. You know, as we've been talking here, Jermichael Finley, ever since about midseason, coming back from that shoulder injury, kind of been doing well ever since. Randall Cobb has three catches for 62 yards and a touchdown before leaving the game, and we'll get more to his injury here in a little bit. DJ Williams coming up with his biggest game of his year, three catches for 20 yards, so good to see him moving in a positive direction after just being inactive a week ago. So great job there. And the Packers running game, creating some damage. A lot of the attention will go to Ryan Grant, who was just signed a few weeks ago. He has 20 carries for 80 yards, fulfilling the workhorse back role after Alex Green was held out of yesterday's game with a concussion. So good to see, you know, Ryan Grant, maybe, you know, nothing too spectacular, although he did have the one catch, what was it, for 34 yards. That was really exciting. But, having two touchdowns on the day, showing like he didn't even have a layoff with the Packers, you know, despite signing him just a few weeks ago and, you know, spending a few weeks on the street. You know, Ryan Grant doing some damage with the Packers here and the running game working well. You know, overall, the Packers have 35 carries for 117 yards. That's only a 3.3 average yard per carry, but, I mean, you got to consider there were a couple kneel downs at the end there that do kind of factor into that. You know, it wasn't a dominant running game, but again, for six straight games now, the Packers have had over 100 yards rushing. And when they can do that, it just lends some balance. Teams got to commit to that run, which helps open up things in the passing game. You know, that's great to see. DeJuan Harris, this guy kind of everybody's high on, he has the start yesterday, you know, gets eight carries, but takes it for 29 yards and himself has a touchdown run as well. So Aaron Rodgers getting a touchdown run on the ground. Everything was going the Packers' way yesterday on offense, and it really, you know, doesn't, you know, it, nothing was standing in their way. Just kind of that Titans defense, almost a little bit of a Swiss cheese, you know, a lot of holes in it. And, you know, there wasn't a whole lot standing in the way of the Packers doing whatever they wanted, whether it was on the ground, through the air, you name it. And as good as a 55-7 victory was, it could have been worse. You know, it could have been more than that. It could have been, you know, it could have scored in the 60s, 70s had a couple of those, you know, long passes been hit by Aaron Rodgers to, you know, we missed, I believe, Greg Jennings, Jermichael Finley, you know, several of them. But just a little bit off, but, you know, still dominant regardless, you know, regardless of what happened. So, as I said, that only bodes well. You know, looking at the defensive side of things here, before I get to that, hang on, I missed something important here, by the way, in terms of offense, before we get to the defensive side of the football. I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, get to the job of Evan Dietrich Smith at center. Of course, this happened late last week, since the last episode of Railbird Central. Jeff Saturday being demoted, a Hall of Fame candidate, Pro Football Hall of Fame candidate, Jeff Saturday being demoted in favor of Evan Dietrich Smith. and the Evan Dietrich Smith really doing a good job, you know, all around. You know, first of all, it doesn't have any of the mistakes a center might have and can really hurt a team. No penalties, no fumbled snaps or anything like that. So that's all good right there alone. On top of that, you know, he probably really helped the running game quite a bit. And that may be his biggest, you know, the biggest thing he may offer to the Packers going forward. He probably weighs about 12, 15 pounds more than Jeff Saturday, getting a little bit more push. There's a little bit more mass there to Evan Dietrich Smith. And you know, going to help open things up on the ground, up the middle, up the gut a little bit more. And you know, he basically held his own in pass protection. All you know, that's kind of Jeff Saturday's strength as well, pass protection. But you know, Evan Dietrich Smith, I think it was really important. I thought the timing was good to make a move like this. If you're going to make it, I mean, thank you to Jeff Saturday for everything he's done. He's a good guy. You know, I don't think he played poorly by any stretch of the imagination. He's just not what he once was. And he handled the demotion with class. Jamie's saying here on the live blog, Jeff Saturday is a class act. He is, you know. So, you know, what's really good here going forward is if there happen to be any more injuries, you know, Jeff Saturday is a pretty good sixth offensive lineman, a sixth option here. So you know, that offers the Packers a little bit, you know, some good depth. So, you know, thanks to him for all he's done, and hopefully Jeff Saturday can still walk out of Green Bay with at least one more Super Bowl ring and contribute to that. I think everybody would love to do that for him. But, you know, good timing here in terms of, you know, if you're going to make the move, make it now with a little bit of time left here in the regular season. See how Evan Dietrich Smith does. You know, heck, if by chance Evan Dietrich Smith had imploded and shown he wasn't doing well at center, the Packers could always go back. But, you know, that doesn't appear to be the case. Getting him a little bit of experience, putting him in a comfortable home environment here against the Titans, and maybe now, you know, he got a little experience running the no huddle, working with a little bit of urgency. I thought that was all good for his development as well. And now next week he goes into a little bit more hostile environment. But, you know, here he's got one game under his belt. He's going to be a little more comfortable. And, you know, so that's really good for Evan Dietrich Smith, you know, heading into a final game of the regular season in hostile territory in a loud environment. See how he handles that, and that'll set him up well for the playoffs and what's to come. Of course, you know, all those games will be tough no matter what. So that's all great news. And you know, Colleen on the live blog says, stupid Vikings horn. Yeah, Ragnar blowing his horn there, right? Won't be looking forward to that next week. Hopefully the Packers will be shutting down the Vikings, so they won't have many opportunities to blow that horn, right? Anyhow, let's see here. Packers defense yesterday, blitzing the heck out of Jake Locker to the tune of 7 sacks and coming from many different places on the defense. You know, Clay Matthews, of course, gets into the act with his 12th sack of the season. You know, considering he missed 4 games and to still have 12 sacks and still with one game left, that's pretty remarkable, I think. So good job by him. But I mean, you know, everybody getting into the act. A.J. Hawk coming up with 2 sacks yesterday and 3 tackles for a loss and 3 quarterback hits. Big game by A.J. Hawk. You know, when was the last time A.J. Hawk had 2 sacks in a game? In fact, if anybody wants to look that up on the live blog, I'm not sure as if that's ever happened. A.J. Hawk 2 sacks in a game, and if it has, it's been sparingly. So, I mean, that's great for him and great for the Packers' defense in general, but just, you know, great to see him coming up. You know, there's always this thought that A.J. Hawk, you know, never could come up with the big play. That was always his, you know, his weakness. You know, he never came up with the sacks, the interceptions, the forced fumbles, and here he has 2 sacks yesterday. And, you know, heading in the right direction as the Packers head to the postseason. Brad Jones coming up with the sack. Mike Neal coming up with the sack. Really kind of showing that Mike Neal may be the interior pass rusher the Packers have been looking for all along. And that's great, you know, even though he doesn't play a whole lot in the base defense, if he can be the nickel-dime pass rusher, that's great for the Packers. Sam Shields coming up with the sack. Sam Shields having a big day, getting an interception and a sack. So great afternoon by him. Desmond Moses getting into the act. Great for the undrafted rookie. These are all fantastic things. All guys who notched sacks yesterday. And you know, that's doing a great job. I mean, congratulations to all of them. They all got to be feeling good about themselves. Interesting that outside linebacker situation, you know, Desmond Moses getting the start, playing a little bit more than Eric Walden, and Eric Walden comes up with the interception yesterday on the tipped pass, but you know, good to see everybody getting into the act. But I have to agree, I think Desmond Moses is playing a little better at this time. I like to see Moses and Clay Matthews getting the most time at outside linebacker with you know, Eric Walden and Frank Zombo maybe spelling them from time to time, just giving them a playoff, a rest a little bit perhaps, and that's great. I think that's a way to keep everybody fresh and playing to the best of their abilities. So be good to see that rotation going forward kind of staying that way with Moses and Matthews playing the most. And then Walden and Zombo maybe spelling them every once in a while. So I really like the rotation there. You know, and how about Casey Hayward? Yesterday, really looking like the Charles Woodson of old, you know, playing that slot cornerback position, really stepping up and playing the run harder, you know, probably the best example of him stuffing the run all season. We know his exploits and coverage by now with his 6 interceptions, but the impact he had in you know, stuffing the run and then also blitzing the passer, that is, you know, great to see, showing that Casey Hayward is a well-rounded player, not just a coverage guy who's going to get the interceptions, but a guy who's you know, will play the run and play tough no matter what, no matter where you play it. And I think this kind of signals, if there was any doubt that Charles Woodson would not be taking over the slot cornerback position, or, you know, Hayward would prevent him from doing that, I think that's now, you know, pretty much a moot point. I don't think that Charles Woodson will play ahead of Casey Hayward in that position anymore. If and when Charles Woodson comes back, I don't know if we'll see him this, you know, for the season finale against the Vikings here or not, but if we do, I find it hard to believe, you know, he'll play ahead of Hayward. I think you'll be seeing Charles Woodson pretty much strictly at safety. You know, maybe he'll play slot in the dime situation or whatever, but I think we're seeing Charles Woodson almost strictly as a safety here from here on out, and that's fine. You know, I think there's room for him on the field, especially ahead of an MD Jennings. And MD Jennings has done he's improved this season, but I think Charles Woodson deserves to be out there ahead of him and can offer some things with the Packers. In fact, he has a couple interceptions against Christian Ponder, and that'd be really nice to see if he could get another one there on Sunday as the Packers head to the Metrodome. The one, of course, bad thing coming out of yesterday's game was the potential injury to Randall Cobb. He gets hurt on a fourth quarter punt return when the Packers are up at the point by, 40 points at the time. And so, of course, there's this whole argument, should Cobb even be out there? And, you know, I do think that if I'm going to nitpick with the Packers coaching staff here, it is that when you're up by plenty in the fourth quarter, get some of the starters out of the game, you know. Not just Randall Cobb here, but would it have killed the Packers to give Rob Francois and Jamari Lattimore some snaps at inside linebacker? I mean, my goodness, you're up by 40 points in the fourth quarter. Let those guys play. You know, for one, it's getting them experience in case an injury ever happens. But, you know, most of all, it's preventative, you know, getting the guys, the starters off the field, guys like Brad Jones and A.J. Hawk, get them off the field. Let Rob Francois and Jamari Lattimore play. Especially with a guy as, you know, crucial to the Packers' success as Randall Cobb is, you know, I don't have a problem with the Packers playing Randall Cobb at returner when the game is still in question. You know, in the first half of any game, when the fourth quarter comes, I mean, obviously you signed this Jeremy Ross for a reason to perhaps take some pressure off Randall Cobb, you know, and allow him to, you know, focus a little bit more on offense. Get him out of there, and then, heck, the Pack, after the injury happens, you know, Jeremy Ross goes and has a 58-yard return? Really spectacular little return. I mean, that almost gives you hope that the Packers would be okay in the return game and allow Randall Cobb to focus on offense strictly. That would be a great thing. So, that's a good sign. Now, should the Packers, you know, not play Randall Cobb at all at kick returner? I don't know about that. Like I said, I'm fine with them returning kicks when a game is in question because he can be such a dynamic person. So the word yesterday, and we have a link to it here at Cheesehead TV, I believe Aaron Nagler had posted it, the information, the retweet or whatever from, or I don't know if it was a tweet or a blog post from Mike Florio at ProFootballTalk.com saying the X-ray is negative on Randall Cobb. So showing that there is no broken bones, at least, and that's a good news. But as I've seen several people point out, an X-ray isn't going to show you any ligament damage. So we're still not out of the clear yet. I think they said they have MRI scheduled for today with Randall Cobb, and that is what would show ligament damage, and we'll see what the prognosis is. And, you know, I think as Mike McCarthy even said in his, you know, press conference yesterday, a lot depends upon how he is the next day. After a night, we'll see if it swells or not, or how much damage there is. You know, could just be an ankle sprain perhaps. Hopefully it's not one of those high ankle sprains that take a long time to recover from. You hope it's a situation where, it's not so bad, where it's, you know, there's just, you know, maybe no damage at all. And the Packers are just, you know, being cautious with Randall Cobb. Now there's certainly the question whether they'll take a chance and, not play Randall Cobb at all against the Minnesota Vikings. I guess it depends upon what the significance of the injury. If there is any damage at all, if there is any, you know, even the remotest, slightest chance that there could be some sort of sprain or anything. I think they sit Randall Cobb the final week here. the Packers do have, they're currently the number two seed. They're currently the NFC champions and have a home game, but they do have to win to, what is it? They don't have to win, right? If the Packers lose, they would also need the 49ers and Seahawks to lose to guarantee the number two seed. Do I have that right? But I mean, the odds of that happening are pretty slim. So in essence, if the Packers win, they wrap up the number two seed, they wrap up the bye, they wrap up a home game in the divisional round, and that's what you want. You know, there's a lot of attention, of course. The Packers get the bye last week, and, last year, I mean, against the Giants, and they lose in the divisional round despite having the week off, despite getting the home game. So, is there any doubt at all that, maybe they don't want the week off? And, we just asked Brett Good about it at the beginning of the show, and I don't think you want that. I think you want the bye. You want the team to be able to rest and heal up, and you just come out fired up for the home game, And I think the big difference from last season is that this Packers team has momentum on its side. Everything's trending in the right direction, whereas last year things were kind of going the opposite way with the late season loss to the Chiefs that kind of exposed some weaknesses of the Packers. The Chiefs defense kind of stopping Aaron Rodgers in the passing game, things like that. The Packers pass defense last year that gave up the most yards in NFL history. Things were not trending in the right direction despite a 15-1 record, whereas this year everything is, going in the right direction. The offense is, got on track yesterday. The defense, while not dominant, is a whole lot better than last year, and they're heading in the right direction definitely. Even Mason Crosby yesterday making two field goals, and the one was kind of scary, bouncing off the right upright and in. But am I correct? Has Mason Crosby hit the goalpost three times this year? I mean, what are the odds of that? I think two of them have hit the goalpost and go in, and then one has hit the goalpost and missed. Wow. But regardless, Mason, I think it was like eight straight games Mason Crosby had a miss on a field goal. Yesterday broke the streak. He's 2 for 2. The Packers looking like they're correct, at least for 1 week, in keeping Mason Crosby. So we'll see. It's definitely a good thing that he went 2 for 2 in a winter environment. When you're dealing with cold footballs and things like that, that's good news. So, the special teams playing well yesterday in general. I think the coverage units played very well, kick coverage, punt coverage, the punt team. So everything doing well there. Of course, Jeremy Ross with the big return. We'll see. We'll see what the injury report brings us this week. We got to wait till Wednesday at least to get to that. But, there'll be a lot of attention. Can some of these guys who have been injured, can they come back? Mike McCarthy said he wants to see him back playing once before the playoffs start. Guys like Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, C.J. Wilson, will they be back this week in time for the season finale? That, an important game here means a lot to both teams. The Vikings need to win to make the playoffs. The Packers need to win to secure the number two seed. There's a lot on the line this upcoming week. So it should be an interesting game as the season comes to a close here. But thank you everybody so much here for joining us here at Cheesehead TV here on Christmas Eve. Happy holidays to everybody who's listening out there, who tunes into the show here on a regular basis. I appreciate every one of you and count it as one of my Christmas blessings that people would listen to me ramble on here on this show here on Railbird Central. So, I'm thankful for all the help I get from Jamie and John and everybody else at Cheesehead TV. So happy holidays to everybody here on Christmas Eve. Have a good one. I don't think we're gonna have a show on Wednesday. I'll be on the road with some family. I think I'll be coming back Wednesday later in the day, but I think I'll be on the road Wednesday morning. So sorry, everyone. We won't be having a show on Wednesday, but we'll be back on Friday in our usual spot, our usual time. So we'll see you then. So have a Merry Christmas, everyone. We'll see you later. I leave you today with not a song from Psy Fidelity Records, but a song from one of my favorite bands, Guster, and their original Tiny Tree Christmas song. So we'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.
It comes along just once a year. On winter's wings, December's rear. Ah, humbug faces commandeer. And then appears a perfect Christmas time.